wait. Whoa. I need my phone. Oh, it's here. Never mind. It's here.
Oh, are we beginning?
Yeah.
Hi. Welcome to the 0 Degrees Podcast, the podcast where...
Oh, my gosh.
Did you hear that?
That popped.
That was crazy. I hit it. The podcast where two people talk. There's nothing like it.
There's nothing that exists that is even remotely similar to this format.
No one can even get their head around what we're doing here. It's that groundbreaking.
It's really groundbreaking. So much so that we've had to hire a team of construction workers to bring their equipment to help us
shovels,
break the ground.
Excavators, pickaxes, all such groundbreaking
equipment. If you can sense my excitement in my voice, which I know everyone can.
Oh, yeah.
It's because I'm menstruating.
Oh, my gosh.
And
I'm going to come right out and say it.
I'm going to come right out and say it. I'm not afraid. So,
you know, you shouldn't be.
This is what you're going to get.
It's totally normal. Everyone does it.
I shouldn't be menstruating?
No, you shouldn't be embarrassed. Oh, boy. Here
we
go.
I'm not embarrassed. I've never been embarrassed.
Here we go. Buckle up. The fear of husbands everywhere. We don't know what to do. We want to support you, but
we
have no idea what
you're... What? We don't know what to do either.
It's like we want to be like,
guys,
I
cried earlier today.
I know exactly what you're going through, but you did? You didn't tell me that.
You were... Oh, yeah, you weren't there.
No, I was not there.
I cried earlier today.
Sorry. Can I touch you or... Will you bite me? Okay. Just know that I'm sending positive vibes your way in the least annoying way possible.
Great.
Here come the vibes. Choo-choo. That's the sound that vibes make.
Well, guys, welcome to the podcast. We don't really have that much to talk about.
No.
Like, in terms of updates from the last time, because we've been actually able to record two episodes in the same span of being home before we leave again. But we are leaving tomorrow, so...
We are. We're driving up
although
to...
Although when you guys get this, that won't be...
The land of angels.
We'll already be there.
I'm going up for... Can we say this yet? I can probably, because by the time this comes out, I'm going up for the semifinals of America's Got Talent again. 2 years in a row. That's fun. I'm wondering if I'm probably not the only, like, person who's done that. I'm sure there's been others, but it's been cool. I'm not going, like, the thing that is unique is Nate and I are not coming back as the Brown brothers or as Black.
They're coming back as the Brown sisters. Thank
just
you, everyone.
Like the Matrix. But no, we are a part of an act called the Cowbells, and it is like a puppet act, and it's pretty fun.
Wait, have you been doing the voice of Simon, Puppet Simon, this whole time?
I believe I have. Yes, I. Yes. It wasn't a good impression.
Oh my gosh.
I have to do puppet. I have to do Simon when it's early in the morning. What is so funny?
I have to do puppet.
I have to do puppet.
I have to do puppet.
I have
Most
to do
people
puppet.
Say, sorry, I have to set my alarm at 5 a.m. I hope you're okay with that. I'm going to the gym. I have to go do puppet in the morning. I don't know why that's what it sounded like to me.
I have a great job. I get to puppet. I had to fill out a census today. It was the most. Here's what I want to know. Maybe you
why
people
the frick
can
do you
answer
have to
this.
Do it? Who here works for the government?
I have accountants that I pay a very pretty penny to file my taxes for me, which
I'm not really sure what the point is.
And I still have to pay so much money. I'm not going to disclose, but lots of money, like enough to buy a nice car in taxes every
yes.
year. Which I was paying before I paid my accountants thousands of dollars on top of that to file my taxes.
I figured
that they would take care of everything.
I know, but you know what I realized?
But they don't. I still have to...
No, you're right. The people who are... You should just do your taxes on a TurboTax type thing. Non-sponse.
I think the thing is...
And do it yourself.
I thought... Because they're
Because
really
I don't think they're
rated.
Actually saving you any money.
I don't think they are either, but this is what I'm going to do this year. So I thought... mistakenly that they would do all the hard work, like look at all my finances, figure out what's
no,
been on what, and then
do
decide
the easy work, which is just hunkering down and putting it in the system.
Yeah, but if I have to collect all that information for them anyway,
exactly.
then the only step they're doing is the easy step. Anyway, what I'm going to
do
this year
is that I should probably be doing your taxes.
I'm going to also file
happening.
My taxes on TurboTax, and then I'm going to see what they say that I have to pay versus what TurboTax says that
They're
I have
gonna
to pay.
They're going to come for you now.
If they
Because you know they listen to this podcast.
I know they do. If they say I have to pay the same amount, TurboTax and my accountants...
Then F them in the behind.
Then I'm going to get rid of my accountants because they cost me $4,000 a year. On top of...
I know.
you know, all the fees for getting incorporated and everything.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Uh-huh. Anyway, so that's kind of what we're dealing with. So that's going to be the general tone of this podcast episode. Oh, yes. No, but actually, so speaking of making things easier and making things not easier, we should just jump into what we were going to talk about the last time.
We should do that. But I did want to, I said census and then I went into taxes.
Oh.
The census asked me all the very same questions that I already filled out in my on my last year tax forms.
I know.
So I'm like, you should already know this. Why are you making me go through all of this again?
Someone tell me what the point of a census is.
I think I know what it is, but I could be wrong. I think it's just to get a general, because this is a business census, to get a general idea of new businesses and what they do and how much money they make and how they make that money. Because those are the questions it was asking me, like, how much money did you make? What were the services you provided? And then out of these services, what is the percentage of money you made on each service? The problem is that the census is definitely not set up for independent creators and like online personalities, because they had nothing like that. So at the end, I had a, like a page where I could put down remarks.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm a YouTuber, singer, songwriter, musician and voice actor.
Oh, there's a little thing you can put
for hire. Yes.
Okay, good.
And I said,
I don't know.
All of my revenue streams, all the money I make is from those five revenue streams. Your census made it extremely difficult for me to select
good
what I do. So hopefully that'll, I changed the world. I Karen'd and everything got better.
That's not really.
As it usually does.
That's not really a Karen.
What is it, Kevin?
Kyle, no.
Kenny?
Just male Ken. Karen.
I'm just Ken. Hey, baby.
Okay, so speaking of wanting to make things easier,
I'm sure everyone's just time, like, this is just so fun. I love this podcast.
I know. But you know what? If you're following us, you deserve to hear us at our worst.
Yeah.
So, or at least my worst.
It's not all fairy toots and happy thoughts.
That is correct.
Pastor Dusty. I feel...
I feel like a bag of stale chips. That's how I feel today.
Wow, that is... I feel that.
Yep.
I felt that in my soul, in my bones.
My eyes are just a little bit tired.
They're a little poofy.
I'm warming up to the fact that I'm going to have to socialize with people before we leave.
You actually look super cute right now. You're tired and you're in a stitch
onesie.
I'm
in a robe because all the rest of the clothes are in the laundry. So I'm basically not wearing clothes. So do whatever you will with that information.
I hope they don't.
And I'm ready. You know what I'm ready to talk about in this mood?
AI.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
How can we make AI do Gabe's taxes?
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. ChatGPT, file my taxes.
Okay. So here's
a 0% without getting audited.
Let me say,
I hate income tax.
Something that happened the other week. So you guys just got back from actually a Grand Canyon trip. So that was something that was exciting.
Oh, right.
That
we did. That was amazing. I should, yeah. Well, I mean, if you want to see kind of what that
talk
was like.
About what that was like.
I'm just going to pitch my Patreon to the five people who listen to
who
this.
Are, well, who hey, I bet you that the people on Patreon, because I do post when we have new episodes on Patreon specifically, that they know what's up.
Every
Most
month,
of them are probably listening.
Claire posts, for those of you who might be listening who don't follow me on Patreon, every month Claire posts an update video. So there will be some footage from that trip. And I also posted some pictures and stuff on
like
Twitter or X. Lord. But yeah, so basically for Dad's birthday, one of his bucket list like dream trips is to raft down the Grand Canyon, starting at Marble Canyon, going all the way through the Grand Canyon and exiting.
So they did a little father and son's trip, and the boys,
we did it. It was
you guys
eight
both
days,
bought your
seven
dad
nights.
That for Christmas. You told
we
him
did.
At Christmas, right?
8 days and seven nights down the Grand Canyon. Once you load onto the raft, all the food is provided by
That's
them.
Awesome.
Oh, it was amazing. It was expensive.
I was very jealous, I'm not gonna lie.
Well,
I saw these videos when I got back and I was like, I just want to get soaked by mud waves.
Well, I'll be honest, the first 2 days sucked because you're kind of acclimating. It's you're getting up
it was
super
raining
early.
Too for you guys.
You become
it?
A solar being. You get up in the morning when the sun rises.
That's
like
camping
5:30
anyway.
a.m. And then you go to bed when the sun sets.
Yeah.
But it was, there's also a hurricane, Hurricane Hillary. And it was, there were storms every night and it rained every night. So you're supposed to sleep on cots under the stars, but we couldn't do that because it was raining. And it was raining on the river. And, you know, they cook food. Every lunchtime, you stop at some random sandbar and it's always sandwiches. But they clean the dishes sandbar. And everything. Sandwiches. Sandbar. Yeah, let's go.
I'm pointing that out because I know that you guys ate sand every day. They clean the dishes
and your hands and everything is cleaned with river water. And so the plates are cleaned in like hot river water and then bleach.
Now, didn't you also pee in those same rivers?
Of course.
All right. Continue. Carry on.
I mean, pee's sterile. You know, we didn't poop in it. We had something called a thunder box. I think it's because if you're sitting on it and you go in the canyon.
And then they get rid of it in the river.
It sounds like.
Before they.
Thunder box. No, they don't get rid of it in the river. They haul it and it gets heavier, surprisingly.
Really?
Yeah. They haul it.
Oh, right. That's because my hypothesis of the boat getting lighter and lighter now, as you went down is not actually true.
I messed up
because all the food left, but it turned into poops.
I messed up my tummy. Yeah, actually, that's a good point. The food got lighter and the poops got heavier. Really, that was actually... So I was going to talk about the science of that because I was like, oh, are the boats getting heavier because of all the poop that we're pooping? And then I was like, no, they're getting lighter because of all the food that we're eating. And it's like, actually, they're not getting lighter or heavier
at
all.
Would they get slightly lighter, though?
Yes.
Because you're peeing out some of the nutrients and you don't take...
We also drink, the drinking water is fresh.
I feel like what is in my body, what I poop out, is not the same amount that I eat.
So most of the mass lost is in water vapor, right?
Okay.
We're exhaling. And yes, we're peeing into the river and stuff like that.
Peeing into the exhaling.
And the water we drink is fresh. Nothing else is fresh. We shower, we rinse off in the river, we clean our dishes in the river. Because it had been raining, the river was muddy, so everything had a little bit of sand on
else.
It. Every time you close your teeth, what?
Cleaning out our dishes in the water.
Oh, okay.
Carry on.
Okay. Yeah, there were women on the trip, too. So, but...
So? You don't know what's down there?
Yes, oh my gosh. The mass does slightly decrease because we also are throwing away things like... Oh, wait. I was going to say things like banana peels and rinds, stuff like that, but no. We carried that too. We packed out all our trash too. So
right.
Ideally,
it's
the only mass that's lost is water mass through peeing and exhaling.
Okay, but then you want to get extra scientific. Rafting down the river as water is coming onto the boat too.
That's true. And since we're peeing in the river, the volume of the river overall
also,
is increasing.
Yeah.
So your displacement. Well, no,
I
actually,
would be so surprised if it comes out exactly even. There's no way to really know. But.
I would actually be willing to bet weight increases, and it is because of what you said, water. Everything gets wetter. All the clothes are getting wetter.
Also, what if you, like, gained weight?
Well, the only way you can gain weight is by eating the food that's already on the boat.
But does the weight of the food equivalate? Is that a word? Equivalate?
No. No. Okay,
no?
Some of that mass, very, very, very small, like immeasurable portion of that mass is converted into energy. Matter converted to energy, that's how we, you know, and heat, but not enough to weigh. Odds are the majority of the weight that you know, if say you ate way more and you did gain weight, well, you're still consuming that food that was already being carried on the boat, and then you're getting back onto the boat. So you're
it's
really
true.
Not...
true. Did you guys run out of food by the end? Did they have extra food?
I think we did.
They really, you guys ate like kings. It was
they had
awesome.
Meals. The meals, the night meals were amazing. There was steak one night. There was burritos and tacos. There was chicken. I took a picture of every meal. They were really, really good. The only problem is that everything has a fine layer of silt all over it because everything's washed in the river.
Yeah.
So it's just, it looked when the Little Colorado joined the Colorado River, the water looked like the chocolate lake in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate
Willy
Factory.
Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Yes. I pointed that out as we were watching those videos.
The rapids are also classed from 1 to 10 in intensity. Actually, I think it's in difficulty to navigate because some of the 10s were not that bad. But in general, the higher the number, the more intense the rapids were. And on the most intense rapid we hit by far was called Hermit. And
Hermit,
Dad,
the log?
We got air. We all like went weightless multiple times. And Dad... You basically just sit on this raft and you hold on to straps that are strapping down all the gear.
Yeah,
and then
crazy.
You sit on the gear. Dad's hand got ripped off of the strap on the first
wave.
The second wave knocked him on to the deck. He fell off the pile of gear onto the deck, which is metal, and hit his head. And then he's just kind of flopping there. I posted it on Twitter. And one of the people that we, one of the friends, I guess we were pretty much friends with everybody by the time we got off, but one of our friends grabbed him and held on to him so he wouldn't fall off. So Nate and her were grabbing him. And that was good because I was filming.
Right, which obviously takes priority.
Takes precedence. Oh, of course. Well, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we have, if you want to pay for more trips like this, we gotta keep up the videos.
That's right.
That's kind of how, that's kind of how it works. Everybody knows that.
Overall, I would say it's not really something, if you don't like camping, you wouldn't like this trip. If you don't like,
that's
like
true.
Extreme weather and sports and getting wet, you probably wouldn't like this trip.
That's like camping overall.
It's just roughing it. It's very much roughing
if you are a glamper,
but it's also kind of scary. If you're a glamper, you won't like this trip.
You won't like it.
No. If you, you know, you really,
if you are somebody who takes a really, really long time to like get your crap together, you also won't like this trip because you have to get up and go every day.
If you're someone who likes to poop in privacy, you won't like
it. You also wouldn't like
it. Actually, they have a really cool system. So the Thunderbox is always hidden somewhere just away from the camp. They put at the entrance to like where you can go to the Thunderbox, the toilet.
Yeah.
They have a roll of toilet paper in a Tupperware like box container. And
whoever
if the toilet paper's, if you have to go to the bathroom and you walk and the toilet paper's not there, it means someone's using it. And that way you don't walk onto somebody who's pooping. But
right.
I will say I only pooped once during the trip and it was
once.
Not.
I thought you said twice.
I think it was once.
Did you poop in the cabin before
yes.
you went?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but so that didn't count.
Preparation.
But I was going to say it was not in the Thunderbox. I don't think I haven't told anybody that except
you just
only
pooped
Nate.
On your own?
Did I? The problem is, I really messed up my system by like never pooping when I was a kid because I just didn't have time, and so I would get really constipated. Yeah, I know. That's
I don't actually
fell
get
in love.
I know we but, don't actually get. I don't get constipated though.
I don't anymore, but I used to when I was a kid.
Oh, I did too when I was a kid.
I got constipated so bad I had to go to the hospital.
I had to go to the doctor too.
Yeah, I know. That's how we fell in love. Remember talking about our poops?
Yeah.
No. Anyway, I had butthole bleedings and all the things.
It took
but
me 20 years before someone said, whatever's normal for you pooping is normal.
Oh, that's nice.
But I don't
well, anyway,
know
I never
if
got
I really
constipated,
believe her
but
either.
It was like an emergency when it hit. We got to the beach. The Thunderbox hadn't been set up because first you have to unload all the gear and you do that like through a chain.
Yeah.
And we got and like, this is our camp for the night. And we got there and we started unloading and my body goes, wah, 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 and I'm like,
I gotta go.
I must go. And so I just ran over the rocks and I went down to the beach.
It wasn't even available to you.
No, it wasn't. And I dug a hole in the sand with my hand.
Oh, wow. That's smart.
And then I pooped.
The last time I pooped without a toilet, like a porta potty or anything.
In the river.
Was at Christmas time when we went up to Flagstaff to go skiing. We were like literally 10 minutes from arriving at the Airbnb. And I could not, I told your sisters and your mom, I was like, we cannot go any further. I've got to get out of here. And I think we were getting gas as well, which we didn't need to get. But in case we're going to drive around the next day in the car, I wanted to do that. So we were getting gas. And as it was pumping up, I went over to an area and I just told them not to look. And because it was like pitch black at this point and I needed a little bit of light. And I just pulled down my pants in the corner of next to a fence area.
Well, I'm glad you pulled down your pants.
That's the first step.
If you hadn't said that, I would have assumed you just
went in my pants.
Yeah, in your pants.
Yeah. Anyway, I took a little deuce and then something as I was pooping, of course, was a little shuffling behind me. And I was like, squeeze that sucker out. I turned behind me and I was like, oh my gosh, there's going to be a freaking coyote.
Would look like this.
The coyote's just like, you better pinch off your loaf before
oh
I come
gosh.
and eat it from you. I don't freaking know. He's going to eat my butthole in half.
Welcome
to
the 0 Degrees Poopcast, where we talk about poop and poop accessories.
Well, when you got to go, you got to go.
Be a poop accessory? Plungers?
Yeah. But, you know, so would a candle.
What?
A poop accessory.
Oh, right. See, I'm thinking, why would you use a candle?
Or a squatty potty.
Oh, yeah.
That's also a poop accessory.
That is definitely a poop accessory.
Anyway, I ended up pinching off my loaf and going back. But I did take a picture of it.
Just keep saying
because I thought it was really cool that I was like, I can't remember the last time I like pooped like not in a place with four walls.
I'll tell you one thing. If anybody listens to this podcast after this episode, I will be amazed.
They never come back.
That'd be good. Yeah. Anyway, Grand Canyon.
The title of this episode is going to have something to do with poop. Already decided.
Poop and AI.
AI
and other kinds of poop.
Wait, let's come up with the title now so that we can...
AI and shit. but anyway, yeah. How was your Grand Canyon trip, babe? It was poop. So it was great poop, though. It was good. It was good poop. So can we change the subject and talk about AI?
Yeah, let's talk about AI.
What was the question? I know we were going to... Because there's a specific... AI is a complicated topic, so we were wanting to approach something about it. I don't remember what it was.
Well, we were going to talk about AI and, I guess, our industry and stuff like that. I actually, before talking about the Grand Canyon, talking about the Grand Canyon, Nate was there as well. But when you guys got back, he played us this audio in the car. And I was like, oh, Nate did a nice little cover of one of these Charlie Puth songs that we all love. And then he tells us after, because he's a sneaky boy, he said, I didn't actually sing this song. And I was like, what do you mean? That's obviously your voice. He's like, I used a program where I recorded a snippet of me singing and it learned what I sound like singing and took that, as long as you have an acoustic vocal chunk of any other song, it can make you sing that song. So I put that together and he played it for us and he was like,
It sounded exactly like him doing a cover.
Like, to the breaths, the everything.
Yes,
everything.
His intonation, his slight accent, everything. And so here's the thing that's the scary thing about all that is. So one thing that really bothered me.
It took her germs.
Yeah. So when I was first doing YouTube, the number one insult I would get is either that I was one lip syncing.
Yeah.
Or using a voice changer. Now that always ticked me off because up until this year, voice changers
didn't
exist. The only thing it could do is add some weird sound to your voice,
but
it couldn't make you sound like another person. That was impossible.
Yeah.
Now it isn't impossible. Auto-tune. Which is auto-tune. People don't even know what auto-tune means. They think that a lot of people seem to think that auto-tune means...
You can't auto-tune to sound like freaking the Bee Gees. Like, that's not how it works.
So for people who don't know, all auto-tune does is make sure that your pitch is corrected. So if I went in and I sang, la, 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 it would correct it to, la, la, la. That's all it would do. But it wouldn't change the way I sounded. It would just change the pitch to be on key. Hence, tune.
You can change it to anything. You go into a program... Melodyne program.
Well, Melodyne isn't auto-tune, though. Melodyne is...
I thought it was a pitch corrector.
It is, but it's manual.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, I auto-tune, see. Auto-tune is auto.
Antares is auto-tune.
Got it.
Auto-tune
it.
Automatically. You basically, you set... You,
you
tell
set your key.
Your key. You tell the...
So
unless
you
tune it dramatically.
Change,
you can do that, too. Sometimes Nate runs us through a chromatic tuner because it's easier, but
and then goes in manually.
And then so he'll throw a blanket. But Charlie Puth, he actually said he never uses Melodyne. He uses Antares and he has it active and he sings to Antares. So he said.
So is it all of those programs in Melodyne is like a form of AI, right? Because it's learning. Like, it's adjusting things for it, not Melodyne, because that's by yourself.
Well, anything that that is computer processing is technically AI. Even your calculator is AI. It's artificial intelligence.
Artificial intelligence,
but,
right.
But when we refer to AI these days, we're usually talking about machine learning algorithms. That's the,
yes.
main
now,
thing.
Now, we've already had
about.
Some AI quality, stuff like cars... You can make cars with AI.
Oh, self-driving
cars? It's machinery.
Are you talking...
Isn't it technically artificial intelligence to have a... Or is that not under the same bracket?
No, not really.
A machine that's auto...
Okay, not in the way that we use AI, the way we talk about AI today. If you're talking about automated assembly, like assembly lines, that's different. That's just a computer program
doing what
it's told to do. It's not thinking. It's just... following instructions, basically.
Like a code.
Yeah. AI, machine learning algorithms, they're actually thinking. They're figuring stuff
out. By themselves.
Yes.
From whatever information they've gathered at that point.
They have been told. They're still following a program.
So it's
like
a little more of a loose cannon is what AI is.
It's extremely loose cannon.
Versus, what would you call that? Machinery?
Machine. automated assembly or a program running. But the thing is, technically, it's still a program, except what it's been told to do is to learn. So basically, the thing is, AI, Elon Musk said something a while ago that I thought was very profound, and it's actually proven to be true. He said, when AI mm-hmm. are smart enough to take everyone's job, it will happen overnight. It'll happen immediately. It won't be slow because AI machines, computers can already think way, way faster than we can. And now we're working on things like quantum computers, which use qubits to think several trillion times faster than our modern supercomputers. What?
What's a supercomputer?
Supercomputer or a quantum computer?
Both.
A supercomputer is a computer that is very powerful. That's it. Compared to other computers, because modern day supercomputers, you know, 50 years ago, or 20 years ago, a supercomputer was as powerful as an iPhone is today.
Right.
Supercomputer is just a computer that's very powerful.
So it's just the highest level of whatever we have.
Yes. And it's usually not something that is owned by a person. It's usually multiple, banks in a big building, liquid cooled.
Right.
And, you know.
So what does quantum actually mean? Because I saw Ant-Man Quantumania. And it wasn't very good.
The quantum scale begins at a certain quantum just means very,
small,
very small.
Too small for us to
but
see.
But smaller than because that's microscopic. Quantum's even smaller than that. Quantum is typically on the atomic level.
Okay.
Or subatomic.
Subatomic.
And I think that there's an actual
can we see atoms?
No.
It's all just conjecture, right?
Well, not really. Okay,
like,
so
conjecture.
C is a weird term when referring to atoms, because the way we see is with photons, and photons can't really reflect off of atoms.
It's like, also, we know electrons are constantly moving.
Well, I guess technically they do reflect off atoms, but
we can't say we've seen where electrons are. We only know where they've been.
Oh, so you're talking about the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, which is a slightly different thing, but yes and no. But you're on the right track. Okay, can we see atoms? Yes, with electron microscopes, we can see atoms.
Okay.
But they don't show up. They show up as basically like a little dot, because all we're doing is firing electrons at a point, like smaller than a laser point.
Wait.
And
the
electrons are like, the atoms interfere with the path of the electrons, and it's like an X-ray on a human body, except on a really small scale. The electrons are collected on a sensor, which translates
cells
to light.
Cells are bigger than atoms, right?
Way bigger. Everything is
okay, that's
atoms.
What I thought. I just wanted to make sure.
Atoms are the smallest things that are not, subatomic particles, so electrons, protons, neutrons, and then quarks, which is
we can technically see cells with the naked eye, right?
Certain cells, yeah.
Red onions.
Yes, that's my favorite example, because the
if you take a picture
thing
of
that
it,
makes
you can
it
see.
Red is just a one layer of cells that have pigment in them, and you can see them with the naked eye if you look
that's
very
really
closely.
Cool. But okay, so
quantum computer uses, I believe, quantum entanglement. It's very complicated, so I'm going to give my basic understanding of it, but this might be something to research.
Okay.
They use the superposition, quantum superposition, to store way more data than a typical binary bit that is either one or zero. That's what a bit is. It's a transistor holds the simplest information, one or zero. Our transistors are really, really small now, and they hold just a single electron to be a one and no electron to be a zero. And that's what computers are. There's trillions and trillions of switches that are either on or off, one or zero. And then there's like if-then gates. If this is a one, then the second one will be zero. Or if this is a zero, then the second one will be a one. And that's how computers work. You can make analog computers. People have made computers out of connects and gears and even people. So, but yes, it's simple code, and then it's the emergence of intelligence. The more bits you have,
the smarter
a computer
can be. So the difference between something just
being
online and something being AI is that AI is constantly learning.
You actually cut me off from where I was going with the difference between a standard bit and a qubit.
Okay.
So a standard bit is either one or zero, right?
Okay.
A qubit is both. at the same time because it's in superposition. It doesn't collapse into a one or a zero, and I think they use the up and down spin of subatomic particles until it's measured.
The heck?
Yeah, and that's where it gets confusing because a quantum computer with like 16 qubits is capable of like 1,000 times the computing power of our most powerful supercomputers. And they have successfully made them, and they work. And a lot of people think that the fact that they work is also proves the existence of the multiverse, which is a whole other level of confusingness. Yeah. I don't think they necessarily prove the existence of the multiverse, but I do think they kind of... Okay. It's like if you could use Schrodinger's cat to compute, that's what a quantum computer is. That's what I just should have said.
Okay. I think the rest is kind of important, though.
Probably.
To get there.
I feel like I did not do a good job of explaining that at all. Probably because I don't understand it well enough.
Well, it made mostly sense to me. Oh, good. So good. That's always a good sign.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. Where were we before that? I guess we were just talking about AI in general, right? I mean, we've got AI that learns how to communicate with AI.
AI. Right. Let's get to AI. So the thing that makes AI scary to me, but also kind of fascinating, is that we really don't know yet everything that it can do.
Yeah.
And it's rapidly being able to do more and more. I couldn't have predicted a year ago that the things it can do now would even be possible.
My introduction to this AI was the grid of images I was seeing where you could search up cat eating toaster strudels and it would show me pictures of that, but they weren't real pictures. They were all fake.
You're talking about DALL-E.
Actually, never mind. The first introduction I ever had to AI was that website that was notaperson.com or something.
This person doesn't exist.
Well,
basically, both of them are the same
thing. They're all made up people.
They are...
Gendered. Well,
it is a machine...
Generated images of people that don't exist.
This person doesn't exist is a simpler form of DALL-E, but basically, it's a machine learning algorithm that has access to all of the internet, scans all of the pictures there ever were, and then makes their own picture.
Yeah.
And initially, it had a set of parameters. This person doesn't exist. You couldn't tell it what to make. All it knew how to do, all it was programmed to do, is make its own pictures of people using other pictures of people that it saw.
Right.
That doesn't mean that it's taking little pieces of pictures and stitching it together in a mosaic.
No.
It means that it's generating images similar to the images that it's seen.
Right.
And so they are completely generated.
And they're new.
They are new. And some of them don't work quite right.
Some
like
of them, like their earrings glasses. Are holes.
Yes.
Like it's really kind of...
Now, though, freaky. It can generate images via text prompt. That's the next step. That's what DALL-E is.
Right.
I think most people were kind of shocked. I definitely was shocked that it happened so quickly. That it was like, I thought that the first thing AI would start to tackle are maybe what I would consider to be simple or menial tasks. I didn't think it would be after, or it's not after
anything.
It's
actually really creative right now.
AI.
It's in a stage where a lot of people are just testing.
Yeah. So here's what I think. I truly believe nothing in existence is inherently good or bad. However, humans can use anything in existence for both good and bad. The scary thing is that, man, this I could go down a huge rabbit hole and I'm trying not to.
Do it.
Okay. AI, it's going to be really, really hard with AI to prove truth anymore.
Right.
If you can generate images of, say, I wanted to get you in trouble.
Yeah.
And I wanted to generate
Claire
an image of you
eating non-vegan ice cream when claims to be a vegan.
There you go. Sure. Well, that's
look, it says on the ingredients right there, milk.
Okay,
product.
So that's actually the AI is not good at putting text on things.
Okay, well, whatever.
But
anyway, you could tell from the viscosity that it's milk.
I could generate a recording of you admitting to murder and then have pictures.
Here, you can just have it already right here. Ready? Here's a soundbite. I've murdered 10 people. Find out who they are down below.
Wow, that That was way easier than I thought. But anyway, you're, what I'm getting, though, it's okay. It's good. The levity is important because this is a.
It's a lot.
It's a scary time, but it's also very exciting.
It's also a huge reason why SAG's going on strike.
We're gonna have to find a way to police this somehow, yeah. And I think it might be too late. However, I will be curious to see how we cope with this because
what's considered proof?
The doom and gloom people who say photo evidence is out the window, audio evidence is out the window, all this stuff.
Well, no.
Well, you know what? Even if it's true, even if it is, humanity has survived for
years without it.
Yeah. So it doesn't really matter.
Back in the day, people used to get their heads just chopped right off, and they're like, "Well, we don't have any proof for you."
And it's actually
Bye.
Probably a good thing on some level. This is me looking for the silver lining that more and more people are skeptical of what they see on the internet because they know things can be faked.
Exactly.
Because that power has been manipulated for a long time, and just because it's easier to do now doesn't mean it wasn't being done before.
That's very true.
So, that's
I mean, it's almost it's like human nature to
deceive
some humans to.
And to capitalize on fear and anger and I mean those are emotions are pay huge dividends if you can control them, other people's emotions I mean, which has been done throughout history. It's not
yeah,
to
it's
say
not that
you know
shocking.
Oh, America
Everyone's,
is the only country that does this. No,
guys, we're all selfish. We all want our way to most of the time to succeed. It
and
doesn't
I don't
mean
actually
that we don't
think,
compromise, but
I don't think selfishness is inherently wrong.
No, but it's human.
That's what I'm saying. It's human nature. The only time it becomes a problem is if you forsake all others for personal gain. If you lose your morality, you're unscrupulous. So
What's that
but anyway.
From?
Nothing. I just
I thought you were being Jim Carrey for a second.
You unscrupulous. What how would he say?
Unscrupulous.
I'd rather not.
It's from
Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol no. In the deleted scene.
May I sponge away the writing on that stone? No, am I the man who lay upon the bed?
That is literally one of the best movies ever, and I'm really sad that it's not
taken
Christmas.
Straight from the book, Charles Dickens.
I know, but I'm just
I
saying.
I release you, Ebenezer. Have I
that
ever
story.
Sought release in words? No, but in another. In a wanton spirit, in another atmosphere of life, in anything that made my love of any worth in your sight.
Now, obviously, that's a really good story on its own, but Jim Carrey makes that story.
Oh, he nails
excellent. He makes it go from great to excellent because all of those characters are him, and they're all totally different, but they're all the same. And I think that's you have to have somebody like that who can kind of
look
do
upon me
a bunch of stuff.
This is where I go. Yeah, but I could do that.
Well, you could do that, but it doesn't mean anything other than, yeah, you could.
No, Jim Carrey, it is. He's amazing, and that
well,
movie really
yeah,
is
but
incredible.
Gabe, if your name was as big as Jim Carrey, even now, you could do that. No, don't count the word.
Longer.
Don't count the letters. I'm saying that...
His full name is Jimothy Carithy.
The world sometimes just decides.
No, no, I get that. I totally
who's going to be what?
I'm not talking
but,
about. But like,
anyway,
I mean, I get that.
You
know.
Both have lots of pat on the back talents. Okay. Don't be angry.
I'm not angry.
Stop yelling.
Oh my gosh! I kind of want to go flying. I can't go flying.
Oh boy.
May I sponge away the writing on that stone?
Now I'm just thinking about Christmas because I really miss Christmas. So I went shopping with your mom the other day to get fall candles. And what did we do? I came back with a snowflake pillow.
Yes, she did.
It's I came into the garage and I was like, don't look, I'm putting this away.
I don't know. My brain is not working
my
today.
My brain is
but
not
I,
working today either, but
I
this
definitely,
is...
I want to tackle this topic and we might have to come back to it. It's
I think
just,
we will always come back to it because it is on the rise right now.
I'm
and,
not...
In popularity and news. So.
I have this weird issue, I think. Let's not call it an issue. Let's just say...
Let's say what
ism.
It is. It's an issue.
Okay. I have this ism where... Fear is exciting. I don't generally experience genuine fear that isn't accompanied with some kind of excitement. So for me, I look at kind of the unknown that is the world of AI and all the bad things that could happen, and I go, it'll be interesting to see how we deal with this.
Yeah, that's
you know?
How I
like,
feel.
I'm not,
I don't really feel, I don't honestly feel like that excited about it. I just feel, well.
Well, I have a lot to lose. We both do. I mean, being entertainers, it is... I think it the most frustrating thing to me about AI, and honestly, I felt this way about autotune before, is I've worked most of my life to get really, really good at what I do, to be really good at doing voices and knowing the science behind voices, and then to have really, really good voice control and pitch. None of that really matters all that much anymore. People ask me, why am I not doing impressions and stuff anymore?
Well, can't make money.
There's two major
it,
reasons.
And now
one,
it's more obvious to do that than
it's
ever.
Easier
anyone
to fake.
Anyone can do
it's
that.
Easier to fake, so you know, I don't really have a good argument, even though I didn't fake it. What's the point when everyone else is faking it? And then two, like you said, I can't make money off it, because another thing machine learning algorithms, AI, have gotten really good at doing is identifying when you're doing an impression and monetizing it. So, you know, make no mistake, these companies are using AI to squeeze all the money they can out of you know, what they can. And that's not evil. It's just what they do. It's the nature of... Now, I'll be curious to see what we can use AI for that's good. Because, you know, there it is very... there's this... wow. Have you ever heard of juvenoia?
Yes. It's the fear of things that are new,
right,
that you're not used to, just
the
because
idea that
they're
new, if it's new
and
it's
you're
bad.
Not used to.
Yes. Because you can only see the bad things about it. It's an unpopular opinion, but I think everyone having a smartphone in their pocket is a really, really good thing for humanity, because everyone has access to all the information that humanity has ever acquired. Now, not everybody uses
That's
it,
true.
But think about how many great minds in the past were limited by their lack of access to information.
Well, that is true. But I will say, to play devil's advocate here, sorry, mm-hmm. I'm having a little bit of a rib attack and my rib is imploding on itself. I don't know how much I'm going to be able to breathe from this point onward.
Maybe you shouldn't be sitting.
No, it's not about that. It's just shallow breaths. Anyway, let me tell you what I think is the opposite of that, and okay, why to advocate Divolo your point. It's because we have so much more access to so many more things. We also see lots of studies and percentages of things like depression and anxiety and all the stuff that is not good for our brains on the rise.
But be also aware, it's hard to compare because the rate at which we...
That is true, but I do think that there is a lot of connection between people who have a lot more information and don't know what to do with it. I'm not saying everyone's like that, but I feel like it's causing this like underlying amount of stress in this, especially this new generation being born into that.
I agree with that, but
last point of this. Yes, it can absolutely, having this much information, it can be really great for people who I feel like are already searching for that. There are some people who are just so by all of it that they're not going to feel that like encouragement to continue their genius, because
that's one of those self-control things, though. You know,
absolutely.
I don't actually think it's the information's fault so much as I think that it's the kind of information that is readily available.
Yeah.
What I'm hinting at is news media articles, stuff like that. They're capitalizing on
fear.
People's emotional response, right? Just fear, all the emotions.
Oh,
but
sadness,
that
concern,
oversaturation.
Remember when the only thing that used to do that was the ASPCA commercial of the dog in the arms of the angel?
I guess. I think here's the thing: whether or not we like it,
what? It just it was everything got very cold after that.
Cold.
Anyway, just continue.
I'm so confused.
Just continue.
I'm sorry, my brain is... I'm trying so hard to keep it on track, and it is a hard track to begin with.
Yeah.
And now I've got In the Arms of the Angel playing in my head. So whether or not we like phones, or we think they're bad, or we think people shouldn't be using them, they're here. They're not going anywhere.
Yes.
And you can't force people not to use them. So what can you do? You can teach people healthy ways to cope. People who actually want to know. And the responsibility also lies, obviously, in the end user, But a lot of it lies with the people who are pumping their information to the forefront.
Yeah.
When I say we have access to the wealth of human knowledge, I don't mean we have access to Fox News, CNN, BBC, CBC, NBC,
no, like
ABC.
You could search up, wait.
I mean, if I want to know, you know, what Aristotle studied when he was in his 40s, I can learn.
You can lurk that erp.
I can lurk it erp.
I know.
Now, misinformation is a problem.
And I'm not even talking about misinformation.
But misinformation has always existed.
I know. I was just talking about like an overloaded amount of information, period, that makes you feel all those different emotions.
Yes.
Like the immediate scrolling difference between something that makes you laugh and something that makes you cry and something that makes you angry and something that makes you fly.
Good. I was so hoping you would rhyme.
It just seemed like it was
something that makes you die.
But yeah, like they're like, what the frick? Like that has to have an effect on us as humans.
I think it does.
Having all that at our fingertips, and we are just like in a whole bunch of different ways. Like you can be numb to stuff like that.
I think you can learn how to deal with it. But I honestly think in going down the Grand Canyon made me. Kind of reaffirmed this to me, though I could be biased based on everyone, you know, only
you are.
Based on their experiences. But I think the farther away we get from how we evolved and how we lived naturally before we had society and cities and cell phones and all that stuff, the harder it is for us to cope with it because our brains are not wired to live the way that we're living. That doesn't mean that it's bad and we have to change. It's just that we cannot adapt physically as quickly as our technology is growing. I'm getting a call.
Gabriel's getting a call.
From mom. Should we call answer?
Yeah.
Hi mom,
we're
recording
a podcast.
Oh, sorry,
because
dinner's about ready.
All right, guys, okay, sorry, we stopped recording because it was private information.
Yeah, it was really, really bad stuff. Classified.
Yeah. You didn't miss much. We just
no, you didn't.
Needed to.
It's time for dinner. Basically, is the translation. It's time to go over. Yeah.
It's time for steak.
I can't wait for steak. It's not going to hurt my teeth.
So this is a slightly shorter episode than usual, but not by much.
Well, you know what? I don't think that's too. That's a bad thing.
Also, I don't think you guys need an extra 15 more minutes.
Definitely
of me
not.
And Gabe
whatever the frick
being
we're doing.
Tired and.
You know what's so weird? I do think there is like a. Like period by proxy thing going on, and I'm not trying to take your suffering on myself.
No, I think that's a real thing, and I'm talking about in the guise of we live with each other
and girls.
In the girls of we've lived with each other for like years, have we?
Years, oh boy.
Kind of.
Actually, yeah.
Well, I'm saying long enough that we have been through
it
many
has
cycles
been years.
Together. We've been through many cycles. And what I'm saying is there is like a when your partner goes through on a monthly basis the title of having a period, the other person experiences that on
I
the
think
same
it's just
cycle.
Like, I don't know if it's like there's like a chemical thing that can be measured. I just know that I am like, I have heightened sensitivity.
We should talk about pheromones the next time we're on the podcast.
Okay.
And that kind of stuff.
I just think I have heightened sensitivity to your emotional state. And because I care about you, when I see you suffering, and that kind of makes me suffer too. But then I don't like, obviously I don't. You complain about it because I'm just saying that that's...
Yeah, you're not going to go around saying your uterus hurts.
Well, you know.
Hopefully not.
It does. So thanks for asking, but
I know what you mean though. I do think that is a thing. I mean, I know a lot of people have discussed it. I'm not really sure how many
basically,
studies.
Basically, I just
want to
take this moment away from you and make it about me. That's what
totally
I'm
totally understand that.
Yeah, I figure you do.
I mean, I'm a lot to deal with, so I would do that if I was you.
Yes, you would
dealing with me.
Dealing, yeah. Anyway, I don't know where we're going with any of this, but
really nowhere.
AI is the end of the world. We're all gonna die.
We're all gonna die.
By actually, you know what? Hey, let me start and not finish another thought for next time.
Okay.
I want to talk about CRISPR.
We've talked about CRISPR before.
About viral engineering, and how if I'm afraid of anything ending the world. It's the fact that, so this is the reason nuclear bombs weren't the end of the world. And, you know, fingers crossed, because it still could be. I believe the reason is because it's way too hard to make it without tons and tons of money and super obvious industry surrounding the atom bomb. So we're able to police each other. You know what's easy to do?
What?
Make viruses.
Oh, absolutely. So and that's a great cliffhanger.
If it gets...
For the next episode.
The easier it gets, the easier it is for one crazed, brilliant individual.
So what you're saying is, the easier it gets, the easier it gets.
Yep. Anyway, if that's if you want to talk about something that only scares me and that I don't see any potential upside to...
Actually don't, but we can.
No, I'm just kidding. It's viral engineering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Artificial viruses.
Yeah. Think about it.
Think about it.
Rabies into Ur.
Rabies into Ur.
All right. I will talk to you guys later. Gabe will maybe talk to you later. I'm not sure. He's not feeling
it. I don't really feel up to it.
But thanks for listening to this episode.
Check out Riggle's
Picks. We almost hit episode 10.
Really? Holy hand.
Yeah. And by the 10th episode, we are going to have a theme song.
We are?
I don't know.
Let's make it right now. Ready? Zero.
0 degrees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Zero degrees.
It's cold.
It's freezing in here.
0 degrees. And we don't have any college degrees. 0 degrees.
0 degrees.
It's double meaning.
Zero degrees. Bye.
Bye-bye. I love you.